Australia. But that risk is much lower in younger people, he says, and higher in some other ethnic groups. And it's possible that some people in the control group had undetected mild or asymptomatic COVID-19 but were never tested, potentially skewing the data, Al-Ali adds. Other factors might also be contributing to the apparent rise in diabetes among people who recovered from COVID-19, says Shah. Existing cases of diabetes might have gone undetected until people sought medical care for COVID-19. Early in the pandemic, researchers raised concerns based on anecdotal reports in the young people and children that SARS-CoV-2, like other viruses, might damage cells in the pancreas that produce insulin, triggering type 1 diabetes. But data on a link between SARS-CoV-2 infection and newly diagnosed cases of type 1 diabetes remain mixed. Several studies have found no evidence that the disease is causing the uptick in cases of type 1 diabetes in younger adults or children. And a lab study published in February also challenged the idea that SARS-CoV-2 destroys insulin-producing pancreatic cells. A lingering question is whether the metabolic changes observed in people who had COVID-19 persist after 1 year. More research is needed to clarify long-term trends in new-onset diabetes at a population level and to tease apart what might be causing them, says Shah.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,865 kilohertz every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iransat or Bat 5 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is your host, Musa Al-Bahadili, and you are now listening to the program, Islamic Upbringing. In this program, you will discuss issues, relevant questions, and other fields regarding the Islamic upbringing of children. And we would like to stress that the answers that we provide in this program are all based upon the narrations of the household of the Prophet, and of course, of the Prophet himself, and upon the Holy Quran, supplemented with scientific research. Joining us in the studio today is our dear friend, Sheikh Ali Himani, who is an Islamic researcher at the Seminary of Qum. Dear Sheikh, I welcome you and Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you so much for having me in the program.
Thank you for joining us, dear Sheikh.
My pleasure, absolutely.
Sheikh, normally in the West, whenever we talk about upbringing or age groups, we always categorize children into different age groups for convenient reasons, but also because these age groups, these people, young people in different ages, they act differently according to their age. So in Islam, do we have the same degree of categorization?
أعوذ بالله من نفسي ومن الشيطان اللين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وبه نستعين. See, when it comes to Islam, we have certain traditions from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, which categorizes a person into three age groups. First is the 0 to 7 years, the second one is 7 to 14 years, and third one is 14 to 21 years. And each age group has been assigned a name. For example, when it comes to 0 to 7 years, they call the child the Sayyid, right? If I translate that to English, right, it's like calling him the master,
the master, right?
And the second category is from 7 to 14 years, and they call the child Abd, being the slave or, you know,
servant.
Servant or, you know, being obedient or something, right, what you can list it as. And the third category, that is 14 to 21 years, is what the tradition refers to is the wazir. So right, wazir again has a translation, we'll come to that. A lot of people or scholars have translated wazir as advisor. Right. However, that's not the true case. Now, different scholars have given their point of view, and different researchers have given their point of view about these age groups. For example, some people say that 0 to 7 years, he's the Sayyid, meaning that he's the master, and treat him like a king, meaning that whatever he wants to do, just leave him free. Give right, him that freedom. Let him do whatever he wants. He wants to run in the mud. He wants to play in the mud. He wants to play in the water. He wants to do this and that. Don't stop him. Let him be free because he's the master. He's the king and he wants to do whatever he wants to do. And right, therefore, you should not stop him, right?
But he's in charge, we can say.
More or less. Sometimes this is, I would say, you know, in Farsi, we say ifrat and tafrit, you know, exaggeration. So he's in charge. But that's not what the tradition is pointing out to. You know, if you look at this categorization from the psychological point of view, what the tradition is trying to tell us here is that when the child is 0 to 7 years, the child is trying to learn. That's the learning phase. That's where he's trying to experiment with different things and trying to learn from it. He wants to touch everything. He wants to feel everything. When he's less than 3 years, he wants to take everything and put it in his mouth. He wants to go. He sees fire. He wants to touch it and feel it and find out what's fire all about. Why is it like this? Why am I feeling heat? Now, if we say that he's in charge, let him do anything he wants, then sometimes you're risking his life, right?
Right, so, yeah.
Correct. So when we say he's the Sayyid and he's the master here, then what we are saying is that give him the freedom to learn. We should give him the freedom to learn. It's not about freedom to do everything, but freedom to learn.
Right, Sheikh. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but we'll be going on a quick break.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You are now listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. Today we are discussing the different age categorizations in Islam. Dear Sheikh, please pick up where you left off.
All right, thank you so much for giving me this opportunity. I'll pick up from where we left. I was talking about the age group 0 to 7 years,
right,
and talking about them being in charge or being the master. And some people, you know, go to large extents of giving more than necessary freedom for children to do whatever they want to do. For example, they go to other people's house, they break,
right,
their furniture, they spoil
them. They basically spoil them, and then they become spoiled
more or less,
children.
Exactly. So
right,
what ends up is that you have a spoiled brat in your hand, and when the age for abd starts, that is 7 to 14 years, it becomes extremely difficult for you to manage and handle,
right,
this person. So what is required to be done during the 0 to 7 years of age is that give the child the freedom to learn. So here, Sayyid is the master, is for the freedom to learn so that he can experiment with different things and learn. However, this does not mean absolute freedom, because if you give absolute freedom, then this child might go and hit another child. And then you would have the excuse that, no, he's the Sayyid, you know, he is,
right,
the master. So
he'll
can
control the household like,
exactly,
some children do.
Right. So he becomes the king and he runs the house,
right,
while he does not have the ability to run the house.
Right.
So what you do is you give the freedom to learn, but simultaneously you also give direction to learn. So you are basically guiding this child of where to go, what to learn, what not to learn, what to get indulged, what to indulge with, what to get involved with, and what not to get involved with. So some people believe that there shouldn't be any do's and don'ts at this age, but that's not true. There has
that
to
doesn't
be.
Doesn't sound like a good,
yeah,
idea.
So there has to be some do's and don'ts,
right,
while you give the freedom to learn. But come to the next age, that is 7 to 14 years, where we call abd, where, according to the tradition, when you say servant, meaning that you order, there's an imperative approach there. You say, do this, don't do that.
Right.
Why is that required? Is that if you look at, again, the psychology of the children, when they reach that age 7 to 14, they've learned what they had to learn. Now, from 7 years onwards, they want to test and risk. The risk-taking factor goes up. When a child is less than 5 years, you will see that, you know, when he comes to staircase, he's extremely careful,
right,
not to fall. He doesn't just run
it's
out.
It's inherent
there
in him. He knows danger.
Exactly.
And he sees
it. So he sees the danger and he restricts himself. But when the child reaches 7 years, he wants to risk that.
Becomes curious even more.
Exactly. So you will find this child climbing up on the closets and jumping, you know, from that height, about 6 feet high,
right,
7 feet high.
Yeah.
He wants to risk things and test things out. He wants to know what happens if I put my finger in the fire. What happens if I cut my finger? Why is blood red? So on and so forth. And this is where, just because the risk factor is high and this person wants to take the risk, this is where we've been advised to act like a master and treat him like a slave and tell him do's and don'ts.
So when we say, dear Sheikh, sorry for this interruption, that the child, he is a servant in this stage, it does not mean that the parents are allowed to order him around like a servant.
Exactly.
Just to stress this, because many people misunderstand this.
Exactly. And this is the reason why I am redefining it in this,
right,
program, that, you know, he's not your slave. He's not your servant that you get him to do all the house chores and get him to run around and do stuff like that. No. So what is expected here is that you give him the freedom to learn, but when you see that he's taking risks which are life-threatening, which are going to be causing damage to him or to others and to others' properties. For example, you bought a costly toy for him. Now, with that toy, he wants to tear it up, break it up and see. That's where you come in and say, like, look, no, you can't do that because that's a very costly toy.
Right. And with that, let's go ahead and take a quick break.
يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات
The Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم said, Honor your children and teach them good manners.
يا مقضي الخيرات
Welcome back, dear listeners. You are listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. Today we are discussing a famous narration of the household of the Prophet, and we are now talking about the age group of treating your child like a servant.
Exactly. So let's come back to the point where we were saying that he's not your slave, right? So you can't just order him around.
That's not the meaning.
That's absolutely not the meaning. It only means here that, you know, he continues to learn, but because his risk-taking factor is really high, he wants to try different things out. This is where you will step in and you will tell him, do this and don't do that.
But of course, dear Sheikh, also, it does not mean that you cannot order him around at all.
No,
right?
It doesn't mean that. See, look, there are times where you'll have to tell children to do something.
To behave
not
themselves.
Not to do something. For example, you go to some place, you've been invited, you're a guest there, now your child wants to, you know, break their toys, break their furniture, pour water in their shoes. That's where you're obviously going to step in and say, no, you can't do that, right? So there has to be some amount of ordering.
Right.
And I want to emphasize on this, that some people feel that 0 to 7 years, there should not be any ordering. That's not true. And 7 to 14 years, it's going to be just ordering and commands and imperatives and directions.
Which is the literal meaning of this hadith, this narration.
Exactly. Now, let's come to the other section, which is 14 to 21 years, and that is being referred to as wazir. Now, this is very important. A lot of people think wazir means advisor, someone who's going to do, act as your advisor.
Like a minister in the cabinet. Right.
Exactly. Now, but that's not how it works. Why? Because this child is just crossed his teens, and he's now 14 to 21. He doesn't have any experience at all to give you advice while you're the father of the house, you're the wali of the house. What this means is, wazir, if you look at the translation, it means someone who executes your task. So wazir here means assigning and delegating tasks to him so that he can do it, and you monitor and supervise the tasks. And this is what the wazir means. And why is it that, again, this age 14 to 21, there's less of commanding and controlling and direction and, you know, all...
There's more freedom in his creativity and how
why,
he deals
why
with
is
things.
That? Why is that? Because if you look at the Islamic age system, you will see that when the child reaches bulugh, that is 14 plus... if you look at the history as well, most of them would get married at the age of 14, at the age of 15, traditionally.
Traditionally, yes.
Exactly. So now, if children were married and the father comes around telling him, do this, don't do that, then what is his value and respect in the eyes of his own household, in front of his own wife? Right. And that's why here you need to treat him like a wazir, where you delegate some work, give him some advice, take some advice from him and give him that space to learn new things and experience the life. And this is what wazir actually means here.
So as a parent, as a father or as a mother, the wali of the household, he's supposed, when his child reaches this age, to treat him as a member of his parliament. For
exactly.
But he is the leader.
The father is the wali.
He's the leader.
He's the wali of the house.
Right.
But when the child reaches 14 years, that is when you treat him like a member of the parliament, where you delegate
an
the
assistant.
Work. And while he executes the work, you train him. You teach him how to do the job, how to get it done, and where is it that you're going wrong, and how to avoid these flaws and faults, so that he gains experience.
He's a trainee, in essence.
It's a training period.
Right.
Training period for his whole life to come, so that he knows what to do. And when he reaches 21, he is already having children with him, right? So when he's 21, he's probably got a couple of children. If you look at traditionally, today people get married after 22.
Right. Well, yeah.
So if you look at traditionally, people might have had 2 children by that time. At that time, again, the father is teaching the son, and the son is indirectly teaching his own son. So there's a whole training program going through it.
Sheikh, I would love to continue this discussion, but we are unfortunately out of time. I thank you for joining us today, and also thank you for your valuable information. I also thank the dear listeners for tuning in. If our dear listeners have any questions, comments, or just some general feedback, please contact us at our email, englishradio@irib.ir. Alternatively, you can also find us on social media under the call handle of Call of Islam Radio. Thank you for tuning in.
Do you know what Islam It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space returned upon rest.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, let us ponder today on how to dress in public, as expounded to us by the embodiment of dignity, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. He whose dress is chosen by knowledge will have his defects screened from people.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Cultural news. Social news. Scientific news. Artistic news. With delight.
A zoo in Ireland's capital, Dublin, has unveiled its newest habitat called the Himalayan Hills, a brand new home of the red panda and the snow leopard. Visitors are able to see the red panda's habitat by traveling along the new trail around a rocky edge to an open viewing area. The red pandas are typically climbing, exploring, or munching on bamboo at the top of broad-leafed evergreen trees. The expanded habitat was designed with a red panda's tree-dwelling lifestyle in mind. Also, visitors can gaze up at the 15-meter rocky slope through an impressive panoramic viewing area to spot the snow leopards. These elusive felines are typically nocturnal, so catching a glimpse of one is a rare treat.
Yeah, the animals are settling in well. We've tried to recreate the wild habitat in the Himalayan hills. Both species live quite high up, in case of the snow leopards, up to 5,000 meters on these very steep rocky slopes, which you can see here in the habitat as well. We've tried to use the topology of Dublin Zoo.
The project took a few years to complete. It was halted in 2020 due to the COVID-19 pandemic and massive budget shortages, but was restarted after government funding in 2021. The zoo is part of a protection project for red pandas and snow leopards. These animals are listed as vulnerable due to threats from poaching and severe habitat loss. Iranian families celebrated the ancient tradition of Sizdebedar, or Nature's Day, by spending some quality time outdoors with family. Yusuf Jalali has a story.
It's Nature's Day in Iran, and parks and countrysides are flooded with families who never miss the chance to spend the final day of Nowruz holidays out with their loved ones. The ancient occasion is called Sizdebedar. Over the past 2 years, the festival was called off amid the coronavirus pandemic, and it's the first time in 2 years that Sizdebedar is marked with such a huge crowd.
Because of the coronavirus, people could not go out on Sizda Bedar for 2 years in a row. And this year, the majority are vaccinated and green spaces are jam-packed with picnic goers.
We Iranians have grown up with Sizda Bedar and we never miss it. Thank God we can safely enjoy this amazing tradition this year with all our family members and relatives.
Sizda Bedar means getting rid of number 13. In Persian mythology, 13 is the bad luck number. Now, Sizda Bedar is believed to chase away the bad luck and bring good vibes.
Today, we cooked special foods like ash and chicken kebab to eat them for lunch with our family members. We traditionally believe that this day brings bad luck and we must spend it outdoors with joy to get rid of it.
The event is also called the Festival of Nature, and it is an occasion to raise awareness of the need to preserve the environment.
Throughout the history, Iranians have had close relationship with nature, and that's why we have dedicated a special day in our calendar to nature. Before we leave our place here, we clean the environment.
Sizda Bedar is the final day of the two-week celebrations of the Persian New Year, known as Nowruz, which marks the beginning of spring in the Northern Hemisphere. The tradition has been celebrated for some 3,000 years in Iran, Tajikistan, and Afghanistan, among other communities. Everyone must have missed outdoor gatherings after more than 2 years of COVID restrictions. Now that worries over the pandemic have eased to some extent, Sizda Bedar once again reunited Iranians with Mother Nature, with all the good vibes and hope for a world free of the coronavirus. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
With neon lights on the floor and walls, pulsing electronic beats, and a glowing red shuttlecock bouncing back and forth, Malaysian badminton court evokes a sci-fi movie set. Shuttle in the Dark is a badminton hall in the iconic Petronas Twin Towers in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. It was set up in late 2021 by a sport management company to encourage people to take up the racket sport after 2 years of social restrictions because of the COVID-19 pandemic. Director of INEC Sport Management says the initial goal was to draw sports fans and players back into action.
Our initial goal was how can we encourage and gain back the interest of people to come back and play. And not only those enthusiasts, but then as well the new people who was not able to or never play badminton before. So that's why we come out with this experience called Shuttle in the Dark.
Playing on a futuristic court presents an unusual challenge for athletes as they have to adjust their eyes to the darkness to fly. Badminton is one of the most popular sports in Malaysia and Asia, with a thriving community in the Southeast Asian community. It has produced some of the world's top-ranked players. Ancient Pompeii has a new guardian, Spot, a four-legged robot dog that will inspect the ancient Italian city's streets and tunnels to identify structural issues. The robot, designed by the U.S. firm Boston Dynamics, will patrol Pompeii at nighttime. The robot inspects the smallest of spaces and gathers data for planning interventions to fix safety and structural issues. Equipped with a 360-degree camera, Spot will also protect the city's streets from illegal relic hunters who cause structural damage to the ruins by digging tunnels. Pompeii will also have its own eye in the sky. A Leica BLK-2 flying laser scanner capable of autonomously conducting 3D scans of the ruins, helping Spot carry out its tasks. Safeguarding ancient sites from treasure hunters has always been a problem for every country, especially the ancient ones.
A super rare birth has added a cute member to critically endangered Sumatran rhinos of Indonesia. The newborn calf is the sixth born since intensive efforts to breed the species began in the 1980s. The female calf, which doesn't have a name yet, was given birth to by a rhino named Rosa in a sanctuary. Rosa has suffered 8 miscarriages since 2005 when she was brought in from the wild for a breeding program. Fewer than 80 Sumatran rhinos remain in the world, mainly on the Indonesian islands of Sumatra and Borneo. Excessive poaching along with other threats has brought the species to the brink of extinction. The cherry blossom or sakura season in the Japanese capital is a magical experience as trees burst into bloom, dousing the streets with stunning shades of pink. This year, people are enjoying the occasion to the fullest as COVID restrictions are no more there. Thousands gathered in central Tokyo wearing masks, taking pictures and posing for selfies among the trees. Cherry flowers reach full bloom on Sunday, 4 days earlier than usual, according to the Japan Meteorological Agency. The age-old tradition of viewing cherry blossoms typically takes place across the country. The flowers are a national obsession. People flock to parks to hold parties and picnics. However, due to the pandemic, authorities have asked people to refrain from eating and drinking outdoors.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Millions of people across the world celebrate Earth Hour, a symbolic Lights Out event that aims to call attention to environmental issues and the necessity of protecting the planet. The annual event encourages people to turn off their non-essential lighting for an hour and take a break from using electronic devices during that period. Earth Hour takes place every year on the last Saturday of March. The theme of this year's event is Shape Our Future and has been celebrated in more than 180 countries, including Greece, France, Thailand, and Iran. The initiative was first introduced in 2007 by the World Wildlife Fund as a grassroots movement for highlighting the collective responsibility of the people towards their environment. An ancient place in Guatemala with special significance for the Mayan culture could be the next entry on the World Heritage List. The historic village known today as the Takalik Abaj Archaeological Park was occupied for 1700 years before it was abandoned and discovered in 1888. It's said to have been home to a pre-Hispanic people. Archaeologists found their way to this mysterious piece of land where they found a series of exotic artifacts and sculptures back in 2008. Guatemala's Minister of Cultural Heritage says this site has a sacred place in the nation's culture.
Takalik Abaj is a sacred place with important links to Guatemala's culture. It's a place that harbors flora and fauna biodiversity and even minor spirituality and war is wild. This makes this place highly important within the Mayan culture in Guatemala.
Archaeologists believe the monuments go back to the deep-rooted civilizations of Olmec and Maya in a Central American culture around 400 BC. The government has presented the site to UNESCO, hoping it will be declared a World Heritage Site. A Belgian-British teenager is on a solo flight around the globe that could make him a world record holder. Mark Rutherford started his journey from a small airfield near the Bulgarian capital Sofia on Wednesday. His first destination is the island of Sicily in Italy. From there, he'll fly south to Africa and then around the globe to cross the finish line again in Bulgaria. The 16-year-old pilot says he got his inspiration from his sister.
Egypt's rich history seems to be a gift that keeps on giving. The country has unveiled some exquisite, newly discovered tombs. The pharaonic tombs were found at the Saqqara archaeological site south of Cairo. The site is a big necropolis of Memphis, an ancient capital of Egypt. The graves belonged to a senior royal official, or rather senior royal officials. Some of the graves are engraved with interesting titles such as Steward of the Royal House and Supervisor of the Garden. The tombs are around 4,000 years old, dating back to the Old Kingdom of Egypt.
Nowruz, or the Persian New Year, is celebrated worldwide by millions of people, including the people in Indian-controlled Kashmir. The region, known for its natural beauty worldwide, turns magical each year during its spring season. To mark nature's revival, the people of Kashmir have dedicated a day to thank the mesmerizing beauty of spring. Our correspondent Shahana Bhatt reports.
As the spring season begins in Kashmir, the earth turns lush green and the trees bear colorful blossoms, with the sky visibly blue and waters clear and glossy. After a not-so-harsh winter this year, the people of Kashmir are welcoming the onset of spring. Nowruz, or the Persian New Year, marks the beginning of spring and is celebrated on March 21st. New trees are planted while people offer prayers and seek God's help for a prosperous year.
Each year, we await this season so that we can plant new trees. The process of their growth gives us hope, and that hope teaches us that God has set a time for everything. We can't fast-track it. We can only do our best efforts.
On the occasion of Nowruz, women in Kashmir prepare unique dishes made from lotus stem and fish. Mehra and her sister have a busy day today. Friends and family are invited to relish the moment.
We have been taught by our mothers and grandmothers to cook these delicacies on the special occasion of Nowruz. It requires lots of dedication, and what matters is that this food brings friends and families together, and a lot of positive energy is exchanged. For us, Nowruz is not just an occasion, but it marks a fresh beginning of love, growth, and prosperity.
On the occasion of Nowruz, the Kashmiri administration often organizes musical festivals to add fervor to the celebrations. People, especially children, visit these musical festivals in large numbers so that the year starts with cheerful memories. This year, scores of tourists have also come to witness Kashmir's spring.
We had heard that Kashmir looks magical, but we witnessed in reality that this land looks fabulous, especially the spring season.
The early arrival of tourists has added a lot of positivity to Kashmir's tourism sector, which has been hit hard by years of political instability and turmoil. Persian culture is deeply rooted in Kashmir, and celebrating Nowruz is a sign of its influence.
Nowruz marks a new beginning, and after suffering decades of political instability and 2 years of the COVID pandemic, people are only hoping for a return back to a normal life and an everlasting peace. Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, Salaamu Alaikum. Welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. We open today's special and under the topic of piety and fasting.
Oh.
الصوم أوشك يبتدي رمضان يا ضيف الورى قد زرتنا في الموعد كنا على جمر الغضا من واله ومفند رمضان يا ضيفا أتى يجلو لنا القلب الصدي.
Today, Tuesday, is the 3rd of Ramadan, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 16th of Farvardin, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 5th of April, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. As usual, we start with the Holy Quran, verses 1 to 6 of chapter Ar-Rahman.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
الرحمن.
The most merciful.
علم القرآن.
Taught the Quran.
خلق الإنسان.
Created man.
علمه البيان.
And taught him eloquence.
الشمس والقمر بحسبان.
The sun and the moon move by precise calculation.
والنجم والشجر يسجدان.
And the stars and trees prostrate.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
ما لنا رب سوى.
It is worthy of note that man begins its being as an unworthy seaman. Nonetheless, the being, thanks to divine lordship, proceeds on the path of evolution and development such that he might be promoted to the state of the most exalted and the noblest being in the world of existence. The name of man follows the Holy Quran, since the Holy Quran encompasses all the secrets of the world of existence in their codified form, and man is the synopsis of these secrets in the form of coming into being and development, and each and every man reflects a version of this great and vast world.
أشهر الرحمن فيك أنزل القرآن.
Piety and fasting, we'll look at it. One of the religious obligations which require taqwa in practice and have no worth without taqwa is fasting. Fasting is sometimes interpreted as the purification of body, as a shield of one who observes it in this world and the hereafter, at least a shield against fire, and at other times as an act which makes Satan ashamed. In a tradition, it has been described as a booty easily gained and as jihad, and in other traditions, it is considered as one of the signs of faith. The sleeping of a fasting one is considered as worshipping, his breathing as glorification of Allah, his silence as glorification of Allah, his deed is twice rewarded, and finally, the reward of his fasting shall be greatly from Allah the Almighty. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with the relationship between mandatory fasting and observing divine piety. In this connection, it must be indicated in the first place that in the month of Ramadan, everybody, I mean, that is all Muslims, are expected to observe its rites and rituals, not for the sake of showing to other people or showing off that they observe fasting. Rather, the purpose of fasting and the purpose of considering and observing these rites and rituals are for the perfection of fasting, mandatory fasting. Imagine that, for example, there are two students. One student just does the assignments in a perfunctory way, and the other one does the assignments with full and rapt attention. Certainly, the second one excels more. Likewise, we find that in the month of Ramadan, one of the indications is that mandatory fasting is, in fact, mandatory fasting in the month of Ramadan, mandatory fasting is in fact an exercise for practicing religious piety. We find that in other time throughout the year, we find that everybody is expected to observe religious piety and to consider Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always superintendent and watchful of our deeds. However, in the month of Ramadan, this is much more important because, I mean, at the same time, we've been enshrouded with, I mean, abundant religious grace. At the same time, Satan isn't, jobless or isn't, idle throughout the month of Ramadan. The more we move toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more Satan tries to deviate our course or away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so as to deceive us. In this connection, we find that we've been instructed to observe religious piety simply by, for example, not backbiting or telling lies or, for example, doing whatever may harm the rites and rituals of fasting in the month of Ramadan.
رمضان يا رمضان يا نفحة الرحمن رمضان يا رمضان شهر جود وغفران رمضان يا رمضان يا نفحة الرحمن رمضان يا رمضان شهر جود وغفران.
As the previous episode of today is special, in this part we'll look at the ways to achieve piety through fasting. One way is sincerity, the other is discipline. About sincerity, we can say, unlike prayers, charity, and pilgrimage, fasting is an invisible act. According to Islam, only Allah and the person who is fasting know whether he or she is fasting or not. However, the fasting person has made this commitment for the sake of Allah. Fasting thus teaches sincerity. This is the very purpose and essence of piety. The second way to achieve piety through fasting is discipline. Yes, piety requires observing the rules of Allah. When one eats and drinks, fasting teaches how to control and discipline these desires. The other way is self-control. The world is full of temptations. It takes a lot of discipline to say no to something that is very tempting, but not good for us. During fasting, we learn how to say no to things that are otherwise permissible and good, but are forbidden during fasting. When one learns how to say no to that which is generally permissible, then one can easily control oneself to avoid that which is forbidden. This is the spirit of piety. And the continuation of today's special from IRIB English Radio, Fasting to Attain Piety. Dear friend, the objective of fasting is to enhance the state of our piety, which is represented by our fear of Allah, working in accordance with His revelation and being satisfied with whatever little He provides, as well as our preparation for the day of departure. The particular type of piety that we will try to gain in Ramadan is the very sensitive type. The fasting person can only acquire this because he or she gives up what he or she desires to achieve that which he is fearful of, the punishment of Allah Almighty. A fasting heart draws closer to Allah by obedience and humble submission to Him. This type of heart sincerely worships Allah alone. This is a strong and pious heart, whose fasting, prayer, and all other actions are purely, purely for the sake of Allah.
So, this is the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during the month of Ramadan, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens the doors of mercy towards people. Even the ones who practice, the ones who practice specially, and even the ones who don't practice. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not shut the door of the mercy towards His ibad. Yes, sometimes we close the doors of God's mercy in front of other people. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Do not give up hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The mercy of Allah is so vast. وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. But you find some people, they come and they tell people, you're going to hell, this is going to happen to you, this is going to... Why do we put ourselves in the place of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and begin judging people? No. The mercy of Allah is vast. The mercy of Allah is open, and especially during this holy month. This is why, my dear brothers and sisters, one of our duties is that we have to make religion and faith, and especially the faith of Rasulullah, the faith of the religion of Islam, a religion that accepts everyone, a religion that welcomes people. Don't shut the door in anyone's face, because how do I know what's in the heart of that person? I might judge someone in a way, but I don't really know what's in the heart of that person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful towards everyone. And this is why we should allow everyone into the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because there is always room for improvement.
Inshallah, we continue and we speak more about this topic that is about the month of Allah. Till then, we leave you in Allah's protection. Have a nice time.
القرآن ظمآن لوصالك يا رمضان للتوبة والغفران ومجالسة
جسد القرآن نور في الأفق يلوح باب الجنة مفتوح لا يروي عطش الروح إلا باب الريان نور في الأفق يلوح باب الجنة مفتوح لا يروي عطش الروح إلا باب الريان ظمآن ظمآن لوصالك يا رمضان للتوبة والغفران ومجالسة القرآن
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.